I also was accidentally tagged in a large group tweet about fans of Duran Duran.
What?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're celebrating what's usually Convergence Weekend by holding a virtual panel. Our guest is Jeremy Stomberg. We answer all the questions you asked, and then some.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
Hello.
And today, we are doing an episode that is just like a Convergence panel.
Cool.
In that we're on it, and we're going to take questions from the audience that we've already been received. But we need a guest. He tipped his hand. We need a guest, but in order to introduce the guest, I want to ask a question that was posed to us by audience member Eric Knight.
This should
and
be good.
And the question is, who is literally the worst? And why is the answer Jeremy Stomberg, everyone?
Jeremy Stomberg.
Welcome. Thank you for being on the show. He's taking a drink. He's taking a drink for the Patreon subscribers.
Yeah.
Of which
everybody else
he
is like, this is great radio.
I just want to point that out. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to the show.
Hello, friends.
Welcome back to the show.
And Tim, how are you?
We're good. So there's no Convergence this year.
What?
I know. And it sucks. And so normally we would have a panel where we would get to record.
And celebrate, what would it be, our ninth?
I think it's our ninth anniversary.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, so we don't get to do that. So what we decided we would do for y'all is simulate a digital experience. Maybe you've noticed, if you follow Convergence, they've been doing some things to try to give you some digital stuff. There have been these videos with Connie, where Connie, the robot mascot, calls various guests of honor and other Convergence folk.
We should talk about what Convergence is, just in case there's anyone that maybe is a newer listener that isn't familiar.
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Well, Convergence is a local nonprofit fan and volunteer-run convention in Minnesota. It has been going for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a mascot that's an adorable robot named Connie, who was created by one of the convention's founders, Christopher Jones.
Friend of the show, Christopher Jones.
And Tim and Jeremy are among the people that helped fund the convention as well.
That's right. In fact, I think we've had almost every founder of Convergence on this show.
I don't know where Derek is.
Molly and I can only list
yeah,
five.
Yeah.
The Wicks.
Yep.
Chris Jones.
Jeremy.
Yep.
Jeremy.
Yep.
Wendy.
Yep.
Ishmael Williams.
We know there's seven.
Ishmael Weber came partially through the first year. So he wasn't really.
But he's still.
We'll give him founder status.
Okay. Yeah, he gets honorary
founder. Who is the triumvirate of seven?
Yeah, who's in the triumvirate of seven?
Ishmael Williams and Perrin.
And Perrin.
Okay.
And I don't think we've had Perrin on the podcast yet.
I don't think we have, but.
There were two that were pre-convergence. One lasted through the first Convergence, Derek, and that's who Perrin replaced. So
yeah.
Perrin came about the second year. And then Leslie, whose whole idea it was, she had to step down somewhere in the planning stages, and that's where Ishmael came in.
That's
and then there
great.
Was one more. You're forgetting
what?
The one more that was there for
oh,
the first
Oh, year. I'm not forgetting.
Well, who would that be?
Jesus.
We'll talk after the show.
Well, that sounds great. Okay. This is fun for all the listeners.
Yeah,
so,
it's great.
I just want to apologize, first of all, for the fact that we have Jeremy on the show, because you're all going to be very drunk by the end. As you know, we had a listener early in the days who came up with the drinking game that every time we mentioned Jeremy Stomberg, everybody must drink.
Now, it is only if you say the full name, right?
Usually it's the full name, yes. Yes,
okay.
It is the full name. Jeremy Stomberg. All right. So
if we just say Jeremy, it's not No drink.
Correct.
But if I say Jeremy Stomberg, then you have to take a drink. Oh, shit. Okay.
All right. So now we have questions from the audience. They fucked around with us and asked us very meta questions. So I'm going to start with some of those because they're very hilarious. Tom St. asked.
Go ahead. What? Sorry. I was going to say, if we just say no to Tom, that is an answer to their question.
Sure, but we can't just answer the questions.
Nancy Reagan this shit.
It's meta. All right. Go ahead.
All right. Tom St. asks, will you read this question on the show?
No.
See, that's all right. We've also got somebody asking, will this be streaming and can we mute Jeremy at will? That's from Chad Valentine. No, we don't.
Although that would be a good idea for Tim if you wanted to do some editing and at a higher Patreon level.
Edit out Jeremy Stomberg.
Yeah. A Stomberg filter for anyone that throws us $10 a month or something.
I will just say, I just tried to mute you just now just in case it could work, but I think only Tim has those privileges.
No, I can do that. I can do that.
I think that's let's see, what other silly questions do we have? Eric Knight also says, can your answers to every question be arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor? We can just make that the title of the show.
Title will be, or at least the subtitle will be Arrest the Cops.
All right,
very descriptive title.
Yeah.
While we're on the subject of Eric Knight, he has asked us a very Eric Knight question.
Oh, boy.
All right, so Eric Knight asks, let's say you could have more cats and or dogs without legal restriction and without the usual grunt work like scooping litter boxes, feeding, etc. You just get to have them hang around to enjoy their company. How many of each animal do you think you'd want before it would be too many? Dogs and cats. How many dogs? How many cats? Just as like self-sustaining roommates.
I would never want more than two dogs and never more than three cats. I'm pretty sure. We've had three cats. Three cats is needy. We only have two laps. Like that's...
I feel like I could go. I feel like I could go up to four cats, three dogs.
Oh,
I think I could do that. Yeah, and at the same time,
Jeremy, do you even have pets?
Oh yeah. I have two great cats. One's really smart and one's really dumb, and I think that's why they're great. Yep, Twonky and Twitch. I think that just from a sanity standpoint, I would take one more cat. Because these guys are getting along in years, and when one of them passes, I want the other one to have a friend until they go, you know. So,
continuity.
I think a constant three is good.
Would you ever have a dog?
No.
Really? That's not, even with all the responsibility taken away, it just hangs out and it's cool.
They're often so
big. For walks.
It is like a little tiny, like one of those little tiny purse dogs.
Oh.
I like the ones that don't take much space.
Okay.
And also, I have a lot of Legos and board games, and I have more cats that knock those things over. So maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a stupid question.
The cats might knock them over for the dog to fuck with. You know, that's one of the issues.
Yeah.
There's nothing in here about their mischief levels.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Yeah. Tim, what about you?
We've had four cats at once, and that didn't feel like too many. It felt right. Maybe a fifth cat, and that would the goal is to keep them kind of spaced out, so they aren't all dying at the same time. Which still kind of happens. So I don't know that was a. That was a great plan, but nonetheless, I'm willing to have five cats. I think zero dogs. I'm just not. I think dogs are great, but I sure don't want one.
You think dogs are okay. I think dogs are great, but I've seen you around dogs, and you just think dogs are okay.
Okay, dogs are fine. Dogs are fine. Dogs are fine. There's nothing wrong with dogs. I just don't want one.
Tim doesn't hate dogs.
Tim is the person that Peaches wants the affection of the most because I think she senses that he doesn't instantly love her and she's going to change his mind.
It's very important to her that everyone likes her and she just wants to know what she can do to
Yeah. So here's it's a question with it answers itself, but I think we can answer it legitimately. Chad Valentine wants to know, if this was the live show at Convergence, what would you be drinking this year? And then why would it be tequila? Now I'm gonna make this an honest question. What would you be drinking this year? And Tim, let's just say that you can make your fantasy non-alcoholic beverage. Like, you have all the ingredients you need to make, like, your Dole Whip or whatever it is. Like we can just snap our fingers and you can have your perfect Convergence beverage. What would you be drinking this year?
My perfect Convergence, my perfect, like, non-alcoholic drink is a lime daiquiri. Because it's nice and sour. Yeah, nice and sour. You got the crushed ice. I really like crushed ice drinks a lot. So that would be my perfect drink.
So next year, people should bring you a virgin lime daiquiri to drink at the live show to show you they care about you.
I think that, yeah, if they wanted to show me that they really like me, that's what they should do.
Yeah. Jeremy, what you drinking this year? What would you be drinking?
Well, let's see. I think just for ease. And to go along with Chad's leading question, I would have pre-mixed margaritas. But thematically, I think I would prefer the Buzzed Aldrin, which is, of course, Russian vodka and Tang.
Ah, yes.
Then, of course, the probably my favorite summertime. It's too hot in here, so I really want to cool things down. Drink is this frozen drink they have at Psycho Susie's, which is a local tiki bar in the Twin Cities area. And it's a Psycho Zombie, which it's like an icy that has rum, and the flavors are basically cola and cherry and lime.
Ooh, that does sound good. It's like a Cuba Libre.
So a Buzzed Aldrin, you said it's Russian vodka and Tang. Is that Russian vodka with Tang powder or Russian vodka with Tang drink?
Mixed to taste.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
I think there was a room party at Convergence years ago that had their version of it, and it was in test tubes. So I think it was just Tang powder in the vodka.
A shot. Yeah.
But if you're going to drink that all night, I mean, for heaven's sake.
Right.
Yeah. So what about you, Nick? What you drinking?
So up until very recently, my summer stay-at-home drink of choice has been like an ounce of any Tattersall liquor. And then like an ounce and a half to 2 ounces of any Tattersall liqueur, and then some kind of either like Sprite or juice. Mm-hmm. So I'm not buying Tattersall stuff right now because there's some ugly labor stuff with them right now. But if I were, I would probably be doing like an ounce of tequila and maybe like an ounce and a half of grapefruit crema liqueur, and then fill the rest up with grapefruit juice because that would be fucking delicious.
R.I.P. your stomach lining.
It doesn't affect me at all.
I've never had
a problem with tequila. I love it.
If you're looking for other quality local distillery products, Norseman is great.
Yeah.
And I just picked up some stuff from Du Nord. Both of them are fantastic. So
yeah. So for me, if I discovered I don't do well digesting fructose, but if I could just have my druthers, I would drink watermelon juice, champagne, and caffeine water. Now, this is a wonderful combination. It's a peach flavored, caffeinated, non-sweetened sparkling water, right? So it's like a caffeinated LaCroix. And then the watermelon juice is basically just like a juiced watermelon. You can buy it at the store.
It's not very sweet. It's like
it's got the rind in there and everything. Yeah. They juice the whole goddamn thing. And then the champagne, brut champagne, so that it's like extra dry. Oh man, I drank that all last summer. It was so great. The caffeine really just keeps you up, but then the champagne's got two kinds of alcohol in it. So
you can be awake to be drunk.
That's right. All right. Well, that's all good. You're having good drinks. I think we've got this. This is in a good spot. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. More questions. Don't mind me while I just have to find where all the different questions are. Okay. Molly Foss wants to know.
Yeah.
As atheists, how do you sleep at night? Like, for real, are you those crank the AC and use a fan while hiding under blankets people or something else? Because I am, and it's awesome. Sorry, this is not a good question. I'll try again.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I agree. So how do you sleep at night as an atheist? Do you crank the AC and have blankets? Do you sweat it out?
We have an 1885 house, so we don't have central air. And we got rid of our downstairs window unit a few years ago. And last year we just kind of dealt without. But this year,
natural.
Yeah, this year was pretty bad. So I did get a new window unit for the bedroom, and they're more efficient now, which I found out on our electricity bill. So and I don't have as much of a problem with sleeping in heat as my wife does. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how big's your bed? You got a queen or a king?
That's a queen, yeah.
Queen, yeah. That's enough space then.
Yeah. So
I sweated it out. One summer I sweated it out sharing a single with my 6'4" boyfriend. That was not great. Tim, what about you?
No sweating out. AC is one of the reasons that we were born in the 20th century. and I realize it's causing global warming and I'm a terrible person, but that said, I really need AC, but I also have a fan running at the same time. Usually I will have like a thin blanket and a sheet that covers half my body.
Which half?
The middle half.
It's the middle half, because I had it covering the outside half, then my wife wouldn't have a blanket. Because I would have pulled it all the way over to my side of the bed, and she would not be good with that.
Inside half.
So it's the inside half.
So it is a vertical median there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And that's actually it. There's more blankets in the winter, but I'm the same in the winter in that I need to keep about half my body outside of the covers and half of my body under them.
I'm similar. If I could just always have a fan going on me for the rest of my life, that would be dope. I would love that. Like when I'm sitting in my home office and working, I like having a fan on me. When I'm sleeping, I love having a fan on me. I like sleeping in a cold room with not much in the way of a blanket unless it's winter. And then I like to get cozy in a cold room stick my feet out, or maybe like from the knees down out, uncovered, just freezing, dangling in the breeze. It's the best. and then also on a night when I really want to get a lot of sleep and really just want to ignore the fucking world, in addition to having the CPAP mask, the Darth Vader mask on, I also like to put in earplugs and maybe take half a muscle relaxant if I'm feeling squirrely. Yeah. And that's great. That's just put myself in a little – no stimulus coma. It's great.
A little poor man's sensitive
isolation chamber.
I need to be covered basically from my chin down. That is that's a necessity for me to be able to be comfortable enough to sleep. It might have something to do with monsters from when I was a small child, but I feel too exposed if I'm if I'm not under the sheet. We actually used to keep the house a lot colder, like 65, and it was way too cold. So this year we've got it like 74, and it's actually been good because we got some humidity reduction with some of the revamps we did to the HVAC. So we've been sleeping just a sheet and a thin blanket. But the problem is the dog and the cat are like on me. Mm. They sleep on top of me. So I will wake up very warm, and I sweat a lot when I sleep, like a disgusting amount.
Nick is nodding
okay?
right now.
Like if she got out of bed, you could like
there's a
trace
mark.
A chalk outline of
her
body.
It's ever since I was a baby. Like my mom used to think something was wrong with me.
Maybe like, there still is.
Mom was right.
She's not wrong. Yeah. I have to point out that since God is an ethereal being, as an atheist, I think sleeping with a fan is super important because it will blow him away.
You hear that, people who like the show, Tim thinks it's very important to sleep with our fans.
I don't know, Tim. Having a fan might blow away the Holy Spirit. You don't want to.
That's what I'm saying. It just blows the Holy Spirit right out of there.
You have to deal with that shit. Got it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Molly. Molly Foss did redo her question. Here, so she's got a two-part question. What was your best favorite costume from Convergence? And then what are the top three costumes you've seen other people do? I'm guessing the first one is your favorite costume you ever did. And then the top three you've ever seen. If you can remember them, and if we can't, we can. It's not a big deal. Don't stress
so
it.
So many.
The Howl's Moving Castle was fucking insane.
That was fucking. That was amazing.
And then I would add to that. We saw a couple of years ago. We saw someone, a woman doing the Him costume
from Powerpuff
Girls with the big lobster claws, and she had a whole scorpion's tail that was like attached with wire and stuff. That was super good.
I know I saw somebody do the really creepy dude from, I forget his name, but from the Pan's Labyrinth, the hand dude. That was some kick-ass costuming I have
one of my favorite costumes I saw at Convergence right here.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to put it up for the camera maybe a little bit. So someone can see
board.
Victoria and Ellie, both dressed up as from Young Ones. I just forgot his name.
Vivian
from the Young Ones. They're both dressed up as Vivian.
The red haired punk
and mini Vivian with the stars on the forehead and all that.
What's great about that is you took that picture. We didn't know them, and then we got to know them out at Renfest.
Right,
and it was like we put it together later. It's like, oh shit, that was you. Like that's you, little girl. Like that was great.
There's somebody like the first couple of years of Convergence. I remember there was somebody walking around the pool. I don't even think they entered it in the masquerade, and it was a diva costume from The Fifth Element.
Oh yeah.
And I remember that.
She was on fucking stilts.
That's amazing.
It was, all the makeup, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
I think my favorite costume I ever did. I really loved the first year I did Emma Frost
because
I had the cape all made. I made it myself and I was really proud of it. And it was a really fun costume. I also really liked I've done so many, but I did Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter, which is a show that hardly anyone has seen on Adult Swim. And it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And my costume was perfect. And like no one knew who I was. And it was such a bummer. Delightful. But yeah.
It was fun to make too.
Yeah.
But of course, your costume was perfect.
I think my favorite is I did a two night costume back when Convergence was a 3-day con, so two nights.
Mm-hmm.
The first night I was the manga version of the students from Battle Royale, and then the second night I was the movie version of
That's great.
People use the same LED necklace, but just completely changed outfit.
Tim, have you ever done a costume for Convergence?
I don't usually make my own costumes. It's just I've got too much other shit going on. I've been able to be in a whole lot of things. Wendy Bowlesby constructed costumes.
You were in a dodgeball group.
I was in a dodgeball group. So, I did technically create that on my own.
Sure. That counts.
That counts. But, I mean, my favorite was... My favorite was when we did Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, and I got to dress up as Animal.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What's your favorite?
That I did?
Anything that you wore.
I think maybe Kingpin.
Kingpin was really good.
White coat and so bald head, no beard. And some metal worker friends made me a steel powder coat, black cane with a diamond doorknob that screwed on.
Cracked
the top.
A tile.
I accidentally cracked a tile in the hotel, just like dropping it like an inch straight down.
It was
down.
The old hotel.
Yeah.
So.
Who cares?
Special limitations will probably run out on that. So.
Yeah,
that was a fun one. I have a favorite one that like one person at the convention got, and it was just for me, and that was Mason Savoy from the comic Chew.
That was
which is a comic no one reads, and that's too bad, but it was a good costume.
It really was. All right, hang on. I'm trying to find the more questions here. All right, so that's good. We got, let's see here. All right. Aha. Lisa Olson asks, what are you kind of a little happy you don't have to see, deal with, or do at Convergence? What are you a little happy you don't have to deal with this year?
I mean, I'm more than a little happy because we were in Europe when the lockdown happened.
Yeah.
So it was pretty much in March that we knew that Convergence wasn't going to happen. So I didn't work on my costume for this year at all. So I got an extra 11 months, 12 months. Yeah. I'm making a Chirrut costume, Chirrut Imwe from Rogue One. Mm-hmm. I'm just happy I don't have to, spend 2 weeks of overnights putting together this giant stick and
that's fair. I for one, I'm really glad that we didn't have to try to write ceremonies right now, because it's really hard. We were trying really hard to come up with how do we celebrate
and be topical
when, for one, there's this horrible pandemic, but even beside that, nothing's coming out. There's no movies, there's no TV, nothing's happening besides horrible things. So normally we'd make a bunch of, pithy references to the latest cool movie and stuff, and there was just none of it. So honestly, I was really grateful that we knew early enough that we could just be like, okay, we can now focus on the joy of everyone coming back, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
there's like three people that I only ever see at Convergence that I'm glad I don't have to see.
Yeah,
that's true. That's also true. That's
true. It's a long story, and I'm going to make it a short story. All right. The thing that I'm really happy I don't have to deal with at Convergence this year is the fact that many years ago, there's somebody who stole $25,000 from our convention.
At least.
Oh, Kate Carey.
Yeah, Kate Carey. Thank you for bringing up her name.
Yeah,
I'm glad you brought that up. So Kate Carey stole $25,000. I'm not slandering her. I want to point that out because she pled guilty to this in court.
Right.
It's public record.
Yeah, she stole $25,000. She was banned from the convention for life. And after Jeremy and I left the board, the decision was made to revoke that lifetime ban, and she has been allowed to attend the convention for the last several years. Every year, I have to see her.
She's allowed to volunteer for the convention.
Well, she's not allowed to volunteer for the convention. And as much
the first
as I,
year, the first year she was, I believe, and then there was enough of a shit fit raised that
the first year she was, and then they didn't. Then they were like, "Well, all right, we won't let her volunteer." And the people running the convention are good friends of mine, so it's hard for me to be a total – I don't want to say that they do a whole bunch of shit wrong because they do a lot of shit right. But I have every year since this has happened sent them a personal letter telling them how this affects me. Mm-hmm. And I have every year since the convention – since this started not received a response, mm-hmm. which means that undoubtedly she would have been there again this year.
I've never gotten a letter response from the board when I've sent them a letter about a concern I've had, which included police instigation a couple years ago and acts of violence being committed and death threats by someone that attended the convention. So
there are times where just a letter that says, "We got this. We've seen it.
I mean, acknowledged.
Yeah.
That's all I want."
Yeah, and I have not even gotten that. So that while everything else I'm gonna miss, that I'm not. I'm not gonna miss having to run into Kate Carey again.
Yeah.
I should point out the reason they said she was gonna come back is because she was ill and she was going to die soon.
She was dying.
Right. It was her dying wish.
Alive.
10 years ago, yeah.
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 So
Yep. So anyway. We have a question here, a submission from a previous alumnus guest of honor, Lee Harris.
Hey, Lee.
Lee Harris, who's an editor for Tor Books, and he's been a guest of honor before, and he's one of our friends. We're all friends with him. But Lee says, this isn't so much a question as an observation that adds nothing, but still puts the attention temporarily on me.
Oh, I agree.
Lee Harris, everyone.
Yeah,
Lee Harris.
I agree.
Yes, so there you have it.
It wouldn't be a panel without...
Some
guy doing that.
Yeah, it's a good panel at Convergence when someone stands up and is like, this isn't so much a question as me wishing I was on the panel, right, and then proceeds to talk for a while.
An observation to share.
Yeah, that yeah. Jeremy Stomberg opened another drink just so he could.
I wasn't even finished with the first one.
That was the end. I need more drinks, but my kitchen is
all right. What's Lee's observation?
That was it.
He's being a super dick about it.
He's very witty. He's British.
Well.
All right. So Dan Clark asks, why is convergence what it is? Did you model it after some other con or model it against the flaws in some other con?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is the exact answer.
Both are yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
From what I've heard or from what I know is, convergence was a sort of spin-off or inspired from MiniCon, an older large convention in Minnesota.
And the good parts of MiniCon,
And that a part of why convergence was started was because some kind of fuddy-duddy changes at MiniCon, some party pooper stuff, and some people from convergence were like, "Ah, well, then I guess we'll just go make our own convention that keeps that particular brand of fun."
That's pretty much it. I think the main reason that it is how it is because very early on we didn't say the only people that can work on this are people that have worked on other conventions, and if you have a good idea about how to run a department or a thing, let's talk about it, and whoever. So, like for Cinema Rex, the movie room, they had just run a room party where they showed movies, and we said, "Hey, what if we gave you a budget and a giant room?" And since then, they've been doing great. Art
shows. Anime Detour, Theater Nippon.
Yeah.
It's pretty much. Some folks had worked on other conventions in the past, like Ishmael, and helping us get through the whole hotel stuff. That was very important. But I think that getting outsider perspective, people that had not run departments but had just attended conventions or ground level volunteered. Just being allowed to run departments as long as they were doing good stuff was, I think, one of the main strengths that we got out of it.
Yeah, and I think we did a lot of, we went to a bunch of other conventions and we spent a lot of time going, is there a reason why they do it this way? Do we like that they do it this way? Do we want to do it a different way? And sometimes the answer was yes, and sometimes the answer was no. This is fucking stupid. We're gonna try and find a better way to do it. One example it was not, so far as I know, done very much outside of convergence, if at all. Maybe one other convention did it, but in like every convention we went to, panels ran like immediately one right after the other. There was an 11 o'clock panel and a 12 o'clock panel and a 1 o'clock panel. And you had to just haul ass to get between them. And we were like, well, I suppose it's fewer panels, but if we put a half hour between panels, then it's not a big fucking hurry to get.
And even a half hour, it can feel like rushed if you're on the panel, right? Because you get talked to after, you got to go to the bathroom, you got to get your drink freshened up, you got to get your ass over to the next place and get settled and all that. So yeah, I can't imagine doing them back to back.
Yeah, and in the old hotel, you might have to go to a completely different building.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the new hotel, it's a very large space, mm-hmm. and the farthest room from room is quite a walk.
Yeah. For me, in a half hour, if I'm on two panels back to back in a half hour, I can like leave the panel, talk to people after the panel, leave the panel room, probably go back to my room, which is where I keep food. So if I want to have something to eat, I go back to my room, I grab something to eat, something to drink, and I can still make it to the next panel in plenty of time.
Yeah.
The other thing that's super different about Convergence is that we created a mascot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we gave the convention a personality.
Right away.
And we gave the convention a performance personality. And I think that that's something that speaks a lot about the people who founded it. I mean, especially, but not exclusively, Wendy Bowlesby, Christopher Jones, and I were all, we all had performance background. But I mean, also Pat and Jeremy were involved in some performing things too. And so the fact that Convergence has so many of these comedy performance panels really
big personalities
rose out of the personalities that were really instrumental in creating it. And part of the reason Convergence has the personality it does and has that, you know, we've reached the point where now, you know, our robot mascot is part of opening and closing ceremonies and she's all over the place. And that's not a common science fiction convention thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was
there's
really
no Dragon Con mascot.
Yeah.
No.
Isn't it a dragon?
But I mean, like, they might put dragons on things, but there isn't like, I'm Draggy, the Dragon Con mascot, right? There's no San Diego Comic-Con, like, you know, anthropomorphic comic book that you know, is on all the t-shirts, you know,
But I mean, on the other hand, panels are, I mean, they've been at science fiction conventions for years. We didn't create anything new by doing that. We just changed maybe what some of them are about because of the personality of our con.
Do you think it grew into something unique that because of like the people that kind of were attracted to the idea of having a more of a party con? Do you think that because those types of people as opposed to people who wanted it to be a more serious con that might have helped push it in this, because it's a party con, but it is also like a place you can learn, you know, you can learn about stuff if you want.
Yeah, I think that it just does have every, you know, something for both sides and for folks who like to travel the middle, you know, I like to go and have, you know, have fun with friends in the late nights and do little plays in front of opening elevators, and I also like to go and listen to authors talk about, you know, how they, you know, how they work, you know, and there's a little something for everybody. Actually, there's a lot of something for everyone. And that's one of its main strengths. I think its main strength is the amount of different stuff that's available around the clock throughout throughout the 4 days of the convention.
How I spend my Convergence now is vastly different than how I spent it, you know, 3-5 years ago, which is vastly different than how I spent it. Like my first 3 years of Convergence were spent like 95% of the time in consuite volunteering. Yep. And then the other 5% smoking outside. Like that's, yeah, it's like been 5 different conventions to me.
Same.
In terms of how I've spent my time at the convention.
Yeah, people seem to think that I was always like doing panels and performances and stuff like that. And it's like, no, that's just been like the last 6-7 years.
There was a convergence. We spent like more than half the time in the hotel room playing video games.
Yeah, we were just, that's what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so kind of in the same line, Grace J. Dixon has asked, what kind of digital events would you like to see in the coming year that could keep the con spirit alive?
Mega panel. But there would have to be some sort of digital masquerade happening at the same time for mega panel to be up against it. Because I don't think mega panel can exist without being opposite of masquerade.
We could 100% do mega panel, Jeremy. That would be really fun.
Yeah, we should talk to someone and see if someone official, which we are not, see if there's any sort of costume event. See if there's any online costume event that's happening, and then just have mega panel opposite it.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I think I want there to be a SmackDown. I want us to do an online SmackDown. I feel like we can do that.
I want to be on SmackDown again, Tim. You son of a
same.
You know,
you dangle it out there.
I'm not the only decider. I'm not the only decider.
I think that, you know, it's traditionally like a we get a pretty big audience for the Vilification Tennis show at Convergence every year. And Vilification Tennis does a geeky themed show as the show closest to Convergence every year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if people were really missing that part of their experience from Convergence, they can just go see us streaming Real Occasion Tennis.
Yeah, July 24th, Bill of the Rings.
I think this episode might go up. Yeah, it's going to go up before the July 24th performance. So
Friday, July 24th, it's called Ville of the Rings, A Dong of Ice and Fire.
Because we're classy.
Yeah.
That's great. So I think I liked, so if you haven't gone to YouTube or the Convergence Facebook page, they did these videos with Connie, just short little things, Connie calling. Past guests of honor or alumnus guests of honor, Connie calling.
I like that they're short.
Yeah.
And really, if I can jump back a little bit, that's one of the things that very early on we learned was you can't keep somebody in a place and not entertain them for a long period of time.
You
don't know what's going to happen when you call someone, and granted the people that they have called have all been pretty cool, fun people. Mm-hmm. They called the Double Clicks and Bridget Landry and Brian Tawora and Cargill.
Lee Harris.
And I don't talk about the British. But they all have been very, they're very fun people, but you never know when you're going to get a clunker in an interview. And if Cargill's episode is 20 minutes long and former guest X is only 2 minutes long, you might not.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we could definitely set up some like discussion groups almost. I don't know if there's a way. I wish there was a way to do like subgroups. I know they're working on some like channel things like chat wise, I think, mm-hmm. To try to figure out ways that people could get together kind of like a panel, like if everybody wants to come here in this area and talk about Supernatural, and we do this thing at work that we call Wind Down Fridays where we have Teams channels. And so if you want to go into the video game room, you can go in there and everyone in there is, playing on their Switch or whatever and just talking video games. And if you go into the party game room, we try to play a party game online like Spyfall or Codenames or something. And then there's the general chat where you can just chat and hang out and general chat. But yeah, I think there's a way that we could do some kind of panels or something like that. That would be really fun.
I don't know about Zoom, but I know WebEx has a neat mm-hmm. option where you can have your presenters and you can mute the entire audience, including from chat.
Yep.
But then you can have people raise their hand.
Yep.
They put Zoom, like a flag up.
Zoom has a similar thing. Yeah.
You can call on them to ask a question. That way you can kind of screen people from just flooding chat with questions in the middle of a panel, but mm-hmm. also have some level of interaction there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Just kind of looking at, I don't have a ton of other questions on Twitter, but there is one question that, before we kind of wrap up a bit here tonight, I think the question that I think we should cover this. Tom ST is asking, why is everyone so mean to Jeremy Stomberg?
Mm.
And I do want to answer this because I want to answer it sincerely.
I'm a complete bastard.
I have a great answer for this.
Okay. Wait, you go ahead.
A bottle.
I have an answer for it too.
That's because Jeremy is a good heel.
Yeah.
And a really good target. And people might not realize that it takes a certain level of skill to be the butt of jokes mm-hmm. often, and a type of temperament mm-hmm. to be a good sport.
Yeah. Tim, what do you think?
Well, Nick makes a good and fair point, but my point is, I think more important. I want to tell you about this meeting that we had back at the very, very early stages of Convergence, in which we were trying to come up with the name of this convention. Okay. And there were seven of us in the room that night. And mm-hmm. Over the course of the evening, we argued for, I think it was 4 hours.
Probably.
We argued for 4 hours. And the name that Jeremy Stomberg argued for very strongly, and to this day may still feel, is the better name for the con than the one we chose, was MacroCon. Jeremy Stomberg,
as opposed to MiniCon.
As opposed to MiniCon, he wanted us to basically stick our thumbs on our noses and be like, fuck you, Minicom. We're going to name ourselves. We're going to name ourselves MacroCon. Her, her, her. And we're all like, fuck that. Convergence is a better name. But no, Jeremy held firm, held firm to the very end. And that's why he is the butt of every joke.
Yeah, I honestly, I agree with both of you. I agree with both of you on that. But I really do think that another good reason is you are affable. You are likable. You are genuinely a kind guy. You are. You are friendly to people. I have worked with you for a long time. I have been friends with you for a long time. And that's why you make such a good heel, is because you have such good, you have a good amount of self-confidence. And so it's easy to take somebody who has self-confidence and make them the butt of the joke. And I think that people are mean to you because you roll with it. For example, the very first question asked on the Geeks Without God post where we asked for questions was Jeremy saying, "Ugh, why would you have him on?" himself. So the first person to be mean to Jeremy was Jeremy. Jeremy sure. Stomberg, everybody.
Oh, drink. Shit.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously, thank you so much for being on and being part of this panel. And I hope that next year we get to do our usual Convergence conspiracy panel.
Yeah.
Are fully improvised and very true.
9 years of Geeks Without God.
Yeah, it's a very true and improvised and completely honest conspiracy panel. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a lot of good fodder for next year, guys.
Oh my God.
I am
a little too real. God.
We'll see how the election goes.
Yeah. But we've been Geeks Without God. If you miss Convergence, we miss you too. Tell us in the comments on this post what you miss about Convergence and what you're glad to not have to
do. Or what do you want to see online?
What do you want to see online?
Because this week we're recording and it's our anniversary week, right? Normally, but Convergence isn't going to not happen until August.
Right. It's August when Convergence doesn't happen.
Yes.
So maybe we'll have to do something else for when it doesn't happen then.
Maybe
it's not happening in July, but it was canceled in August.
It was canceled in August.
Yeah, I had talked to a friend on Sunday about something that had happened on Sunday of previous Convergence. And I texted them and I said, "Hey, happy anniversary." And they responded, "Really? Is it now?" And I was like, "Well, I guess technically it was the 7th. So it's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But it's really not going to happen until August, and so I don't know. Yeah. I'm not Eric Knight. No.
We just had our 15-year dateversary. We got together 50 Convergence 2005.
I'm just going to say Jeremy Stomberg, so we can all take a drink to
Jeremy Stomberg. So please subscribe to us on Patreon, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff. And as always, forever and with love. We will see you next Tuesday.
Also, in case we weren't clear, arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Actually, I don't remember, and part of the reason I don't remember is because of all that living.